thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. Thank you, Dan. It's great to be here. It's great to see all of you. I want to look you right in the mask this morning. That's a new thing that we have to work with, and it's a privilege to be at Columbia International University and to be with all of you. Thank you, worship team, for those songs. I could just let that go a little while. You know, I'm like the little boy that went to church and they played some good music and then the preacher preached. And on his way home, he said, Dad, the dad said, what did you like about the service? He said, well, he said the music was good, but the commercial was too long. So I'm going to try to, I think the music was awesome. How many of you think the music was awesome this morning? Amen. Yes, Dr. Smith, it's a blessing to be here with you, a dear friend as well. And he mentioned this is election day. And I just thought I would just break down all things political this morning. I'm just joking. Come on now, relax. How many of you think we ought to pray for the election? How many of you think after looking at social media, we ought to pray for the elect? You know what I'm talking about? That's them Christians that are on social media that are part of the elect that aren't acting like Christians. I think we could pray for the elect. Maybe that's as important as praying for the elections this morning. I just want to begin and share a couple thoughts on what is our role in the world in which we live, and some of the challenges that we're facing as Christians and as the Church of Jesus Christ is we sometimes forget really where our loyalty lies. And a political season just emphasizes that and draws us even more dramatically out of that. I like what Paul said to Timothy, and I'm not, this is just a freebie, but I like what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and 2. He said, he is the king of the ages, the immortal and invisible. He's the only God. Amen. That was like a couple verses before he told Timothy, I want you to pray for kings and those in authority. And we're supposed to do that. But the thing that really struck me recently as I was looking at that scripture is here's why we need to pray for kings and those in authority. And this is it. So that we might live a peaceful, quiet, godly, and dignified life. So maybe the reason we ought to pray about our government is not the effect that that prayer will have on the government, but the effect that that prayer will have on us. Amen? Because he said, I want you to pray for kings and those in authority so that you may lead a quiet, peaceful, godly, and dignified life. And after being on social media for the last 6 months, that ain't happening in a lot of places. There's a lot of people that aren't quiet and godly and dignified and peaceful. And so we're wrestling, we wrestle with this question, what is our role? And as Christians, I want to just for a few moments this morning peruse around Daniel chapter 1 and 2 in the Old Testament. Because we know that since the fall of humanity in the Garden of Eden, when God evicted Adam and Eve from the garden, the people of God have been foreigners and strangers and sojourners since that day. God created this beautiful place called the Garden of Eden. It was perfect in every way. Humanity was perfect. Adam and Eve were perfect. And sin came in and disrupted God's perfect creation. And God evicted Adam and Eve from the garden. And since that day, the people of God have been wanderers and strangers. Many of the narratives of Scripture about the people of God contain real-life stories of the faithful being forced to live in a strange and a hostile land. When Adam and Eve were pushed out of the garden, they had two sons. You know the story of Cain and Abel. The Bible says Cain killed Abel, And then he went to the land of Nod. That's maybe the land that some of you are planning on going to this morning. I don't know. Cain went to the land of Nod. And you know what Nod means? Nod means wanderer, exile, stranger. Abraham later was called from his home. When he really had an encounter with God and his faith was rooted in God, Abraham was called from his home. And what did he say? He said, God, where am I going? And God said, I know where you're going, but I'm not going to totally tell you where you're going. You're just going to wander. And you're going to follow me, and you're not going to fully understand. You're going to be out of your home place. You see, Christians, we're away from home this morning. As a matter of fact, when Abraham got to the promised land in Genesis chapter 23, he called himself in the promised land a sojourner and a foreigner. Abraham's descendants ended up down in Egypt for 430 years, living amongst people that were hostile to their God, whose practices and faith and values did not align with theirs. They got out of Egypt and they spent 40 years in the desert, wandering, doing NASCAR laps in the desert. For 40 years, they were trying to find their way home. Even when they possessed the promised land in Leviticus 25, this is what God told them. They finally made it to the promised land. Listen to what God said in Leviticus 25. He said, no, this land belongs to me. You are strangers and sojourners with me. Years later, David built a palace, defeated all the armies around him, became mighty and powerful, was living in the Holy Land, in the holy city, in the holy house. And David said in Psalm 39, 12, I am a sojourner with you, a guest like my fathers. Young people, I want to tell you something this morning on this 2020 election day. This is our calling as Christians. We are called to live as faithful followers of Jesus in a world that worships other gods and lives according to a different set of values. What does that mean? What does that look like? The picture, this concept is illustrated beautifully in the book of Daniel. To give you a quick synopsis of Daniel, there's 12 chapters. The first six tell all kinds of cool stories about four guys that were abducted from their homeland, the city of God, Jerusalem, carried over to the city of man, Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, about 60 miles south of Baghdad. They were abducted from their homeland. They followed God. They followed Jehovah, and they were captured and taken with others in the year 605 BC. Aren't you glad you came to chapel this morning to learn all of that? This is like world history right here. These four young men were captured, and they woke up one day, children of God, followers of God, living in a foreign land. Nobody cared about their God. Nobody worshiped their God. The temple of their God wasn't there. And the first six chapters of Daniel are their story. How do you live as a Christian in a hostile land? I'm not going to be political this morning, but I need to tell you this. You're not first an American, and you're not first a Republican, and you're not first a Democrat. We're first Christians. Amen? See, we're just foreigners and strangers and sojourners living in this world. And so what is our role? What is our contribution? What is our responsibility? Well, you know the story. They got there. They're about 17 years of age in 605. These four young guys get there. They had scored really well on their SAT or something. I don't know why. They kind of took the cream of the crop out of Jerusalem, said, give me those good guys and let's bring them over here. And the king said, I want to train them in the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. I want to change their identity. And I want to change their practices, which, by the way, that's what the world wants to do to all of us. Amen? They want us to think and act like the world. They want to change our identity from names that reflect God to names that reflect this world. And our identity is something other than we are children of the Most High God. That is our ultimate identity this morning. And the world wants to change our conviction. They say, we want you to eat the food that your law says you can't eat. You know the story, they made it through that 17 years of age. The Bible says the hand of the Lord was upon those young men. Can I just tell you something, young people? If you strive for anything in this world, strive to live with the hand of the Lord on your life. I'd rather have the hand of the Lord upon me than 10,000 men singing my praises. I'd rather have the hand of the Lord upon me than the world telling me, everybody in the world telling me how I'd rather have the hand of the Lord. And they had the hand of the Lord. And guess what happens when the hand of the Lord is upon you? In Daniel chapter 1, they were elevated. They never, listen to me, young people, they never compromised living as children of God in the city of man. They never compromised, and God's hand was upon them, and God elevated them in the kingdom. Do you want to make a difference in this world? Our difference is ultimately for the kingdom of which we are a citizen. The difference we make is not supposed to be just for the kingdom that we're in. It's for the kingdom of which we are a citizen, the kingdom, the eternal kingdom of God. But the question, what is our role? What is our role? The answer to that question is found in Daniel chapter 2. You see, they were there about 3 years later, 20 years of age. They had, the Bible says at the end of chapter 1 that God had blessed Daniel and given him the gift of visions and dreams. Daniel could understand things because God understands things and he was downloading it to Daniel. And so Daniel and his three friends, which you probably know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were their Jewish names. Daniel and his four friends were put into the local union of magicians and wizards, for lack of a better understanding. They say, man, this dude tells stuff. He's got to get the go hang out with the astrologers and the magicians and the wizards. And that's what they did for 3 years. They were being educated. They were being trained. They just lived. And in chapter 2, they finally discover their purpose as to the reason why they were living in Babylon. Let's read a couple verses there in Daniel chapter 2, beginning in verse number 10. The king had this dream, and he couldn't remember the dream, but it troubled him so bad he remembered the suffering, and he didn't know the meaning of the dream. And it was kind of this bizarre dream that there was this huge statue, and the head was made out of gold, the body was made out of silver, this was made out of bronze, this was made out of iron, and the feet were a mixture of iron and clay. Again, aren't you glad you came to chapel to learn that today? Some old man's dream 3,000 years ago. But anyways, he had this dream. He's like, well, but then this rock comes in his dream, comes rolling and destroys this idol that he is seeing. And the rock turns into a mountain. He wakes up and he says this. Hey, guys, I need to know my dream. So he calls the magicians and the wizards and the astrologers. He says, can you come tell me what my dream was? I need you to do two things. Tell me my dream. That's really hard, because if you tell me what you dreamed last night, I'll make up a meaning. Amen. You tell me you saw, you know, some grand and glorious thing, I'll just make up a meaning. But if you tell me I have to tell you, then I got to really know something now. I want you to tell me my dream, he said, and I want you to tell me the meaning of my dream. And we'll pick it up in verse number 10. And he said, by the way, this dude was, by the way, the king Nebuchadnezzar, he had some serious emotional issues. You read the book of Daniel, he's like up and down, in and out, changing his mind, freaking out all the time, one way or the other. He says, if you can't do this, I'm going to cut you up into pieces. No pressure. Verse 10. And the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no great powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. That they had right. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. Again, he was pretty stressful. So the decree went out. The wise men were about to be killed. They sought Daniel and his companions, because they were also a part of that union, to be killed with them. And Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. And he declared to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree of the king so urgent?" And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. And Daniel went to his house, and he made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those were his three friends. And he told them, listen to this, "Seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery." Kids, young people, you don't hear anything I say? Hear this. There's your role. We got to seek mercy from the God of heaven about this mystery. What's going on in the world? How do we solve the problems of the world? The consequences are devastating. They were devastating there. And Daniel gives us some really good insight. He said, listen, we got to seek mercy from the God of heaven so we can help them understand this mystery. Those people you work with, those unbelievers that are related to you or connected to you or go to school with you, listen to me. Your role in this world is to be a man or a woman of God who knows the God of heaven, is connected through the Holy Spirit to the God of heaven, and our role is to bring meaning to all this mystery. This is our role. They prayed, you know the story, and the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And he said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belongs wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings." Here's a good scripture for today. "He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." Listen to me, verse 22. "He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we ask of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." And he went to the king and he shared with him what it really all meant. Let me just tell you this. I got about 5-10 minutes. Is that right? About 10 till? Is that? Whatever. Okay. Let's go to 12:30. No, I'm just kidding. Let me tell you something. Three things you need to know this morning. You need to know the sovereignty of God that is at work in human events. Are you with me? The sovereignty of God that is at work in human events. What is this? You see, God, it is God's ultimate control in the world that's illustrated in the life of this king. God is, make no mistake, listen to me, God is constantly at work, always aware, and strategically interacting on earth for his glorious purposes. There are times when we believe mistakenly that God is disconnected from human events, cares very little about them. We see this in our world today, where we want to disconnect our faith from our culture. But can I tell you something? This is a grand and glorious promise this morning, that our God, who sits on the throne of the eternal kingdom that has no end, is very much involved in the stuff that's going on in our world. And our allegiance is to that kingdom. We just happen to be like Daniel, placed in this kingdom to help people understand the glorious, sovereign purposes of God in this world. You see this story that God is actively at work in Babylon, not just in Jerusalem. He's in Babylon speaking to an evil, pagan, godless king in the night, giving him a dream. God spoke that dream to him for the purpose of promoting the will of God on earth and unveiling truth about the future that affects you and I today. His dream, we'll mention it just in a moment, his dream was really about the unfolding events of history that would take place in the future. So we got to know this, the sovereignty of God that is at work in human events. Secondly, you got to know this, the complexity of the problems that the world is dealing with. The complexity. Their problem was pretty complex. The king looked at those wizards. That's not in the Bible. That's the name I think of every time I read it, so I just say it. He looked at his fortune tellers and said, "You tell me what I dreamed and what it means, or I'm going to kill you." That is a complex problem. That is a very complex problem. Can I tell you this morning that the urgency and the nature of the problems in this, the world does not have an answer for the craziness that's going on around us. God Almighty does, and he's expecting us to help solve it. Amen. We are members of the kingdom of God. We're away from home. You know, Stan Key, my friend, says that one of the fundamental issues with the human race is we're homesick. We're homesick. We've been wandering since the Garden of Eden. It wasn't supposed to be this way. And when I stand beside a bedside like I did about 10 days ago of a dear friend of mine and watch him take his last breath and hear his wife weep and hear his children weep, hear his mother weep and his sister weep, I thought, man, this isn't how this was supposed to go. And what I was hearing were the sounds of homesickness. This is the world in which we live, and God has placed us here. The problems in this world are complex. The problems of the division in our country are complex. But listen, God has placed us here not to get caught up in the sidewinding temporal solutions that the world will try to offer us. We're to walk like Daniel, faithful, honorable before God and before men, and we're to help bring solutions to the problem that come from God. The problem in the world is complex. Let me close with this thought. I want you to see the responsibility of the faithful. They're about to destroy all the fortune tellers, and God strategically places his people in the midst of the chaos of this world. This placed a great responsibility on Daniel. And listen to me. God has strategically placed us as his followers. God has strategically placed us in this world. And God wants to use us to make a difference. If you believe the ultimate solution is political, you're mistaken. We live in a temporal world, and the world is political, and that matters. But the ultimate solution to the problems of this world, the ultimate solution is not political. The ultimate solution is found in the sovereign power, supernatural work of God Almighty. And he's looking for ambassadors, men and women, who will live in this world and help him spread it. So here's the answer. The answer is this. Our role is to bring spiritual meaning to earthly problems. You see, Daniel explained to the king what the dream meant. The gold head was his kingdom. The silver body was the next kingdom, which came 65 years later. The bronze legs were the Alexander the Great and his kingdom. And the iron was the Roman kingdom. And Daniel was explaining to him the rock that came out was Jesus that destroyed the kingdoms, and the rock became a mountain, a kingdom that would never end. And the book of Daniel, the last six chapters, Daniel really unfolds for us how all of this is going to work and unfold in the world. So let me give you this, and I'm done. You and I are called to see and to solve the problems of this world with spiritual understanding and solutions. We are to engage in the world honorably. We are to view the problems of the world spiritually. We're to seek from the Lord interpretation and answers to the complex issues of our day. And listen, we are to speak boldly what the Lord reveals to us from His Word. This is our calling. The world has problems. Listen to me. The world has problems bigger than we can solve, and they need you now more than ever. This is no time for Christians to be silent. We have to find God's Word. What is the Word of the Lord for this moment? And we have to open our mouth. Prayer is more powerful than any other thing we have. And let me say this. The popularity of God will ebb and flow, but the power of God always remains the same. And what we find in the book of Daniel is that when Daniel told him the dream, the guy said, "Oh, this is awesome. Everybody worship Daniel's God." And then a couple chapters later, he's making them all bow down to his idol, and he's trying to kill them for not worshiping his God. And then after that, oh, everybody worship their God. And the popularity of God went like this. It just went like this. But the power of God never changed. And so politically in our world, things will go your way or not your way, and then they'll go your way, and then they won't go your way, and then they'll go your way, and then they won't go your way. But listen, the men and women of God remain faithful, steady, honorable, holy, humble, righteous, praying, rooted and grounded in the Word of God. We're like Daniel and those young men, just in every season and every time, we're just doing what the Lord says for us to do. And things are going like this, but we're steady and we're faithful. And listen, the power of God never, never, never wanes. When you get to Daniel chapter 6, that famous story about Daniel in the lion's den, dude's 83 years old. Dude's 83 years old when he gets to Daniel in the lion's den. That's 60-some years later. What do we find? We find he's on his third king. He's on his second kingdom. Now the Babylonians have fallen. The Medes and the Persians have taken over. This is the third president he's been under. Guess what hasn't changed? Sometimes he was popular. Sometimes they were throwing him in the lion's den. Guess what else hasn't changed? Daniel's faith, Daniel's commitment, Daniel's willingness to stand up, Daniel's willingness to be used of God. And what else has not changed is the power of God that delivered him there. Young people, this is my word and my prayer for you. Listen to me. Receive your calling from God to live as citizens of the kingdom of God in a broken, sinful, fallen world. Seek mercy for this mystery, and let God use you to change the world. Can you pray with me this morning? Father, I bow before you this morning in front of these precious, precious young people, these young men and women, Lord, from all walks of life, different places around the world. Lord, I rejoice in the work that you're doing in them and through them right here at CIU. So I pray right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would call young men, young women that are sitting right here. They would hear it, Lord. They would hear the voice of God calling them to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God in a broken and a sinful world. And Father, I pray this today with thanksgiving and confidence, and I pray it all in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.